Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, changing the economy. Back in about 2000, the year 2000, which is 15 years ago, I changed my jobs. I went from working in the building industry and running, managing a timber place, to making a decision to come and work at Life Ministry Church as youth pastor. And it was a big change. It was a big change in my life. And as a matter of fact, I think the 15 years. I think it ticks over in about 2 weeks. I'm hoping to get some more long service leave to go a bit more travelling, but I don't know about that yet. I'm hoping that happens. But I think it's in about 2 weeks, which is really interesting. And as I speak on this subject, changing the economy, you may not know yet where I'm going with it, but I remember at the time considering the move to go from a job that, you know, I had a car and I had a really good position, and to working as a youth pastor with needing to find some other employment eventually alongside of what I did here. I remember considering that's going to change the economy in our lives. I remember that's going to change some things and change it on many fronts. And it was those questions that I had to work through at that time and that decision that I had to make. And it was a big decision for me. It was an element of I really had to trust God that he was going to provide. I had to trust God that he was going to come through in it. And so it was kind of like I had to let go of some of my securities that I had and allow God to take those. Now, this morning I want to talk to you from the book of Exodus. And at the time we see where we're in is Moses has just come out of 40 years in the wilderness. And he's basically just, you know, gone through the burning bush experience. He's just taken off his shoes. He's just done all those things and it's time for him to go and face Pharaoh about the Israelites that were in slavery. And it had been 430 years and there was a lot of slaves. And right at this time, it was a big move. And he really had to believe God, that God was going to come through for him. Because I'd imagine back then facing Pharaoh would have been very interesting. So if you've got your Bibles there, I haven't got anything on screens today, so if you've got your Bibles there, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, and we're reading from Exodus 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. Okay, so, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." The king of Egypt said to Moses and Aaron, "Why do you take the people from their jobs? Get your burdens." Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens?" The very same Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, "You shall no more give the people straw to make bricks or make brick. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks which they made before you shall still require of them. You shall not diminish in the least, for they are idle, That is why they cry, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid upon the men, that they may labour at it and pay no attention to lying words. The taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get straw where you can find it, but your work shall not be diminished in the least. Now, if we have a look, at that situation, there's often in the old, we understand that the New Testament is the old concealed, and the old is the new revealed. So we see in the old what is revealed in the new. And so in this, we see some characters and some places. And Egypt is a type of the world with its riches and its opportunities. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And we can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the god of this world. And Moses is a type of Christ in this situation. He is the deliverer. And the Israelites would be the type of the church, which you would say would be, if the church is the people, that is you and me in this situation. So what I want to do this morning is I want to see some things in the lives of people delivered. Graham shared a few weeks ago about deliverance, and one of the things that he said that he does what he does is because he wants to see people set free. And one of the reasons I took up that call 15 years ago is because I also want to see people set free from their burdens. And so I just want to take you through a couple of little things that we see in this scripture. Because we don't need to be caught up with burdens. We need to be set free. And Christ has already done that, but it's accepting that that is part of it. So the first thing we see here in verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And the first thing that I see in this is Satan does not, or Pharaoh does not want you to spend time with God. It is the best thing for any person here to have time and to spend it with God. And the pressures around us pull us back from doing that. But I can tell you the best thing you can do is to spend time with God. And he will do anything to stop you from spending time with God. He will tell you anything. He'll say there's better opportunities, you know, if you listen to this program or you spend time reading this book about, you know, finances or what have you. But whatever you do, don't spend time with God. He will do anything he can to stop you doing the best thing that you could possibly do, and that is to spend time with God. So that's the first thing we see here. The second thing we see, and this is in four parts, this thing. And in verse 4, we see that he doesn't want you to stop working. And as we read back in verse 4, he says, the king of Egypt said to Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their jobs? Get your burdens. So he doesn't want you to stop working, firstly in mindset. He wants you to continually think that you've got to work to earn. He wants you to continually think that you've got to earn your salvation. He wants you to continually think that you need to earn your righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favour, that you are saved. Free grace, unmerited favour that you are saved. Delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in or take glory for himself. So he wants to play with our mindset and says that we need to work. Get back to your work. Work hard. The second thing we see here is that he doesn't want you to stop working so you can't rest. And I'm going through these things pretty quickly because I really want to get to the crunch of things this morning. Hebrews 4:2-3 says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest." And he said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished," the works were already finished, "from the foundation of the world." Satan doesn't want you to rest. In your mindset, he wants you to keep working and working and working and working to earn. And this is one of the key reasons why, this next step. He wants you to keep working. Don't stop working. Because he knows that if you keep working, you won't be fruitful. Now, fruitful talks of new life. Fruitfulness talks of something new and born. Fruitfulness is an amazing thing. Now, you might think, how do I come to that? Well, Exodus 5:5 says, "Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens.'" But let's just go back a couple of chapters here. Exodus 1, verses 8 to 10. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." So Joseph was in the land of Egypt and a new king rose and he didn't know any of Joseph's exploits. "And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of this land.'" Satan does not want you to spend time with him because he knows that if you do, you will become fruitful. You will become more fruitful in your life. The last thing Pharaoh wants is the children of Israel to increase. And he knows if they get rest time, they will become more fruitful and increase in number. That's what Pharaoh wanted. He wanted them to keep working so they couldn't be fruitful, so they'd be so worn out that they couldn't reproduce. He didn't want the work to stop in case they grew in number. Now, we are called by God to put a dent in the enemy's plans. The word says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the armies of the Lord." If we are not focused on God and we are not spending time with him and we are listening to the God of this world who says you've got to work to earn, you've got to work, you've got to work, you've got to work, but don't spend time with God, the armies of the Lord are going to struggle. And so Pharaoh, in his wisdom, knew that he didn't want to see increase with the armies of the Lord. The harder and the more we work, the more we achieve is the motto of today. We've got to work to earn. We achieve more if we work harder. But God says, "Put the time into me and what I want." And that's rest. That's more than just rest with your hands. It's resting with your mind and your heart. And more fruitful you will be if you do this. You'll be more fruitful in your lives, with your friendships, with your family, with your ability to see God work into the lives of others who don't know him. Are you fruitful in your walk with God at the moment? Let me ask you that question. Do you see it as fruitful? It's not a heaviness on you, but ask yourself the question. Are you having a fruitful time in life with God and the things of him? Or has Satan got you locked in slavery? And the last thing we see here is, and this is the thing that I really want to get to today, is Satan doesn't want you, or Pharaoh doesn't want you, to stop working, because he knows that the economy will be destroyed. Now let me just explain this. Can you imagine what would have happened to the Egyptian economy with all the slavery and all the building they were doing if the Hebrew slaves, once the Hebrew slaves were taken out of captivity? The slave masters had their jobs and everything worked out. There were 600,000 slaves in Egypt. Can you imagine what that would do to the economy? Can you imagine what would happen in this area if 600,000 people left their jobs and walked off? Can you imagine what would happen to the economy? It would be shattered. So Pharaoh's there, and he's thinking, hey, we've had this happening for 430 years. There's 600,000 people out there. If they just up and leave, we're in big trouble. Remember the type. The type is Satan. And it's the god of this world, and the world is a world's economy. So can you imagine what would have happened? At the time, imagine the thoughts of Pharaoh. What will happen? You can't change this. It's just the way it's always been. No wonder he dug his heels in. But once the Israelites were delivered, the economy no doubt changed. I wonder today if there are any or many here who would consider that you have an area or areas in your life that need delivering. And if they're delivered, what will happen to the economy of your life? What is going to change in your life that's been there for years? Because for years you've been easily offended. But you're just not prepared to let go of that forgiveness, that unforgiveness, for years. And it just won't leave you alone. For years, you've had to control people. You've used manipulation and control. You've done it in your work. You do it at home. You do it with your friends. And you know there's something up with it. But you're just not sure what'll happen if you lose control. For years you've been wearing a mask to cover the real you. And Satan keeps telling you, you've got to keep staying that way. Because what'll happen if that mask comes off? If they see the real you, you'll be concerned about your image. For years you've been working like a workaholic. But you just know if you stop working like a workaholic, you're going to have to trust God with your finances. What will that do to the economy of your life? For years you've been gossiping. It's been going on for a long time now. It's just intrinsically a part of your nature. You just can't help but gossip. And you just can't stop. But what will happen to the conversations if I do stop? The economy will change in those conversations. For a long time now, you've been enslaved by pornography. And every time you think you have it sorted, you will fail. And you think it's over, but it comes back. But the economy of your life says, but the fear and consequences of what happens if I get found out says it's got to stay the same. You know you haven't been straight with your finances for a long time. At tax time, it's good to dodge a few things here and there. It's good to just, oh, that doesn't matter real too much. God doesn't mind about that. And Satan says, but you can't change it because if you start doing things straight with your tax, you'll lose all this money. Will God come through for you? That's the big question you ask. For a long time now, you've been negative and critical and complain, and you just can't seem to stop. It doesn't matter what it is, you want to be critical about it. Whether it's about the music at church, whether it's about how someone does something at work. But Satan says you can't change who you are, that's just who you are. You keep getting sick. And you've been getting these little illnesses time and time again. And it's just wearing a little bit thin now, after all this time. But that's just who I am. That's part of who I am. You get angry and frustrated. Anything tips you over the edge. At home, at work, in the car, and you're so tired of it. You don't feel like you measure up. You're never good enough. These feelings just keep coming back and back and back. But that's just the way the economy is. It goes way back. It goes a long way back. Years it's gone back, but it just doesn't seem to change. Well, you know what? It's not God's will or his plan for you to live this way. That's not what he wants for your life. He wants freedom. He wants you delivered and set free. God sent his son and he has already paid the price. You have already been delivered. It's time to move on from those things and accept what Christ has done, the deliverer, as Moses was, and stop believing what Pharaoh says, that it's going to be too hard to change over the time. No matter what anyone has told you or what you think, you don't have to stay this way. Galatians 5:1, and I spoke on this a few weeks ago, it says, in this freedom Christ has set us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have once put off. It comes down to this. Are you prepared to say, God, I give this to you. I give this to you again. I come to you again. I confess this. I understand it's an issue. I let this go, even though this could totally change the economy of my life. Now, at the sign of the deliverer, Satan starts to dig his heels in, and he makes it a little bit harder for you, because that's the way he works. He makes it harder before the freedom comes. That's what he did with the children of Israel. He wanted them to work harder. He wanted to stop them from being fruitful. And he'll say, what about those friendships? What about that relationship? What about that stinking attitude? What about that work? What about the money? What about my reputation? You just can't give any of that up. It's going to be too hard to go through the process to give that up. You can't stop that. You just can't change. It must remain the same. But God says, I am bigger than your circumstance. I'm bigger than the economy of your life. And even though it seems like we're back where we were before, I'm still bigger than that circumstance. I'm still bigger than that situation. Luke 12:7 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be struck with fear or seized with alarm. You are greater worth. You are of greater worth. It's interesting, Ross's word this morning. But you are of greater worth than many flocks of sparrows. Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows your situation. He knows how hard it's been. And he wants to see you free. Can you trust that no matter how it looks and how hard it is and how long you have put up with it, that God wants the very best for you? But you know what plays a part? The fear of the unknown and how things will change in your life. The fear and the lies the enemy says, you're going to have to pay too big a price for this to change. And that's one of his most effective weapons. And we sit back and we go, let's leave it as it is. But God doesn't want that today. He wants to see you free. And he says in his word that perfect love drives out all fear. And his love is here today. His spirit is here today to see a change of something that's been so intrinsic that it's just become who you are. Now, by the way, I just want to go back a step. Moses' first request of Pharaoh was they were going to take the Israelites 3 days into the desert. That was his first request. Verse 3 says, and they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or the sword. God's deliverance was far greater than the first request. It was greater than 3 days. So as much as you might have in your mind, this is the area God's going to deliver me, if you hand that to him today, I can tell you the outworking is going to be far more than you could ever imagine. I know in my own life that there were some things a few years ago that I had to deal with. And man, it was tough. And it was. Let's not play games this morning and pretend like dealing with things in our life that have been there for a long time. Let's not play games and think that it's not tough to deal with, because it is. And it would have been tough to get those slaves out of Egypt. But you know, Once it was almost like once this became evident and needed to be dealt with, once it was, I've had insecurity fall off my life like I never realised it was there. And I've spoken about this before. I've had other things fall off my life, and the freedom is amazing. But sometimes we've just got to say, I'm not concerned about the effects of what's going to take place if this thing comes to the surface. I'm going to trust God that when He comes through, He's going to change more than you'll ever imagine. His deliverance was greater than the first request. We often put limitations on what God can do, but His deliverance is better than what we could ever imagine or hope for. I'd like to take communion this morning if we can. And guys, can I have the team up as well, please? And we're going to sing that song that you finished on. I think that's pretty appropriate for this morning. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take communion together. And I believe this morning that God wants to wash away some of the fears, and God wants to see some of the process of being set free take place. There was a process with the children of Israel. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't get transported from one place to the other like that. And sometimes this is the greatest thing. We are so concerned about the process of deliverance, and we think it's all too hard, and Satan will fill us with those lies that his deliverance is too hard. And what we've got to remember is we're already set free. It's stop believing the lies that says that we're not. We are set free. And so as communion goes round, we're going to sing this song. And what I'd like you to do is, if you know God's spoken to you this morning, I believe this needs a response. I believe it needs a response this morning. I want you to grab your communion, and I just want you to come and stand at the front. If you know God's been speaking to you, then come down the front and let's begin the process. It may not, for some people, they get delivered from things straight away and it's gone. And that's awesome, but it's not for everyone. It's not the way it works for everyone. But today, you're going to say, God, I'm going to stop believing the lies of the enemy. And I'm going to believe in your economy. And I'm going to stop believing that my life's going to fall apart if this thing gets dealt with and healed. And so I just want you to, as we sing, I just want you to come forward and just stand with your communion. And in a few moments, we're going to take communion together. But let's worship together. Please stand if you would. And if you know God's been speaking to you, then I want you to just walk down the front. Don't wait. Don't muck around. Just come down. And let's worship God.